Get your Bible, go with me, if you will, into Hebrews as we go line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh, guess what? The new people, we haven't greeted them, have we? If you're new in this place, and those of you that are online with us right now, welcome. Let's just take a moment before we get into the Word of God, and let's greet the new people. If you're here for the first time, maybe never been at the Rock Church World Outreach Center before, we have ushers standing on their feet right now looking for you to raise your hands, and we give you this little brochure. There's some folks back there. Just get your hand up. Back there, back there, back there, back there, back there, back there, up there, up there, up there. Back there, back there, over there, back there, back there, back there, back there, back there, back there, over there, up on top, over there. God bless you. Come on, you ought to give them a better warm welcome than that. And then all over the world, as you join us in the Word of God, we're excited. You don't get one of those brochures, but nevertheless, we want you to know we love you and respect you also. Those of you that got one of those little pamphlet brochures, inside there's a general information card. Here's what you want to do. You want to put your name on it, and you want to fill it out and drop it in the offering basket when it goes by. But better yet, bring it up to the right-hand side of the foyer. There's cookies and donuts, coffee, tea, some cold water maybe if you like, that are waiting for you. All the pastors will be there to meet you. We get to know you a little bit as you get to know us, and we want you to know we love you very much. Now, as we get into the Word of God today, let me just make a statement to all of you. We're going here to learn about the very heartbeat, character, and nature of God, as well as ourselves. That's what the Word does. It shows you who God is, then it exposes who we are and where we're supposed to take our life and what we're supposed to do with it, because God wants you blessed. And as we go to Hebrews in the second chapter, we're going to third chapter, verse number two. We're going to be looking at a wonderful understanding in the Word of God today that's going to be a blessing to you. In fact, the title is The Blessed Life of the Faithful. If you're not faithful, don't expect to get blessed. And let me explain what that means so you can understand the importance as we read the Word of God in a moment. But I want you to know something, and you might as well pick up on this about yourself. Don't kid yourself. You want to be blessed. You want to be made happy. You want to be fulfilled. You want to live well. You want to have a great house. You want to be comforted. You want to be insured and strong. You want to have a great car. You want to have finances. You want your family to grow in the ways of the Lord. You want to be at peace and content. Don't give me this baloney that you don't want to be blessed. You do want to be blessed. And I'll find, and so will you today, as we look at the Word of the Lord, that you will see people in Scripture who received great blessings and rewards from God because they were faithful. Let me define, if I may, this wonderful word, because most people think they're faithful when they're not. For an example, let me say this to you. There isn't anybody in here today that hasn't had somebody make a commitment to them and then they fail on that commitment. I want you to know something, that's not being faithful. The biblical term for being faithful is your yes is yes and your no is no. And the Bible says in Psalms that someone who is faithful swears to his own hurt. What does that mean? It means you make a commitment and you follow through even though the commitment you made hurts you on that adventure to fulfill that commitment. Most people back off of their commitment. Most people back off of their relationship. If it starts to go sour, if it starts to go wrong, they back off and they never remain faithful at all. And I want you to know something. The ones that are faithful in the Scripture are the ones that are blessed. Now let me read the verse and then I'm going to explain the test of being faithful. There's a test to it. In other words, God will test you in the area of being faithful that you can understand and that you will see for yourself where you're at. The verse in chapter number 3 is 2, and let's take a look at it. It says these words, who, speaking of Jesus, was faithful to him, and I love this capital H, him, that we find In the New King James, the old King James missed it and wrote a small H there, speaking of God the Father. Speaking of Jesus again, who was faithful to God the Father who appointed him, Jesus, capital H again. As Moses also was faithful in all of his house. The comparison here, listen to me now, listen, don't lose me. The comparison is Moses was faithful and we give him honor in the house. But Jesus was a greater faithfulness because he gave honor and was faithful to the Father who assigned him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Oftentimes, the point being is we put our emphasis on men and we should put our emphasis on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is greater than Moses, even though Moses was wonderful. And the people in those days were doing a lot like what we see in America today, where people put things before their relationship with Jesus Christ. The ultimate relationship with for all of us that are Christians is a relationship with Jesus. He is the preeminent Christ. He is above, he is beyond, he is greater than. And without him being beyond, greater in your heart, without him being superior to everything, we have missed God. And we're no longer the faithful people that we need to be. But I underline those words faithful. Did you know that there is a test of faithfulness? The test of faithfulness is trials, problems, pressures, and temptations. Have you ever had trials, problems, temptations, pressures of life? Of course you have. Most of us that are Christians, in the midst of the problems, we look to God and we say, God, where are you? When in fact we ought to look to ourselves and say, I understand the problems and pressures and temptations and trials that are coming at me, but I know where I'm at. It's not about where God's at, it's about where you're at. Because in the midst of problems, and you'll have them, in the midst of trials, and you'll have them, in the midst of pressures, and you will have them, you will find yourself, you will either back off and run away, or you will stay faithful to your commitment. And that's the test of your faithfulness, is what you do in the midst of those problems and pressures of life. Is anybody listening? And the problems and pressures of life expose not only who you are, where you're going, and what you're doing by the faithfulness that you act at that very moment. And most people don't even understand that. In fact, I received a letter. I won't read the whole letter to you. I'll read parts of the letter to you from a lady, and I won't give you her name because she didn't give me permission to read this. But in case she's here, you won't know her name. I want to read this, and I want you to see how faithful she was in the midst of problems and pressures. Now watch this, because guess what? We're talking about being blessed and how the blessings of the Lord came in to her life because she remained faithful when the problems and pressures of life came upon her. She goes on in the very first paragraph talking that she had been in our church for 14 years and she had had a fight for custody for her son. By the way, she has raising five children, according to our stats in the office. And it says these words, since I started coming to this church, I started to grow stronger in my faith by learning and believing God's word. Shortly after I got my son back, we both continued to come and grow here together. 7 years ago, I met my husband and we got married and both now attend the Rock Church. Over this last year, my husband lost his job. I believed God would see us through this financial difficulty. I have been a faithful tither. I started to give more than my 10% because I knew that this was not as the time to give less than I had had. My husband got sick in the hospital in May. And all the time that he was there, he was worried about how much this was going to cost and how much this was going to set us back. Because he had lost his medical insurance when he had lost his job. I told him, don't worry about it and believe God is going to make a way. Remember how we've been professing every week, bills paid off, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises? Our first bill came in. It was $18,238. Now here comes pressure. Think of the pressure. Lost job, think of the pressure. Husband in the hospital, not bringing in income, but massive amounts of money coming in. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the test of whether or not people are going to be faithful. $18,238. This week we received a letter saying that it was reduced to $2,475. I was so thankful to God that I started sharing about God's miracle with my friends and my family. Later that week, my boss pulled me aside and told me that he had heard about my praise report, and he also wanted to bless me. He said he wanted to give my husband a gift of $2,000. He got out his checkbook and wrote that check and wrote happy birthday on it, put it on an envelope. When I gave it to my husband, who was just amazed, he said, how did he know it was my birthday? I told him my boss didn't know it was your birthday. He didn't know that you'd lost your job. He didn't know that you were in the hospital, but God did. And I know all of these blessings were coming from the Lord. That same week, we received an unexpected check in the mail for $405 and $100 cash for my husband's birthday. The total is $2,505, more than enough to pay our bills off and have extra money. God is great. God will meet all of our needs if we give what we have in our hand. Thank you so much, Pastor Jim, for teaching us this. And she gives her name and enclosed an envelope for $200 as a tithe on the gift that came forth. Come on, somebody. You see, the neat thing about this is in the times of problems and pressures, what are you and I going to do? Are we going to question God? Are we going to be up and down? Are we going to be frustrated with God? We're going to say to ourselves, well, we know people who tried this and it didn't work. We're going to fail like they're going to fail and start doubting God. Let me tell you something. You will never enter into the blessings that God has you for you until you become somebody who passes the test and becomes a faithful person in the midst of problems, trials, and tribulation. Today, the Spirit of the Lord has led me to take out of the scripture some people that we can look at that have been blessed in the Bible because they stood for God. We'll call them faithful people in the Bible as an example. There's some faithful people we need to look at. Why? So that your faith will be encouraged. Why? So that you can look at them facing their problems and realizing that faithfulness is just being tested, and God's going to get you through the problem and take you out on the other side. And when he does, he will bless you where you're at. Somebody ought to say amen. The first one that we need to look at is Moses, because Moses was mentioned. Obviously a great man of God, but not everything in Moses' life was easy by any means. If you will, I'd like you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of Numbers, and let me give you a scenario of what's taking place, and then I'll read to you what God says about Moses, and then we'll see what the benefit is of what God says about Moses. Is that okay? Here's the scenario. We find in the 12th chapter of Numbers that Moses has now taken on a wife. He didn't take on a Hebrew wife. He married an Ethiopian. Now, I don't know if that's a problem in those days or if it's a problem in this day. Ethiopian, as I understand, are people that have a dark complexion. So the culture that she came from was different than the culture that, if you will, Moses was brought up in and he understood. Moses had a brother and a sister. His sister's name is Miriam. His brother's name is Aaron. They get together. Now stop and think about it. God has just delivered them through signs, wonders, and miracles from the captivity of 400 years with the Egyptians, brought them through the Red Seas with miracles taking place. Moses is now in this wilderness area, and they start to complain because he takes an Ethiopian wife to himself. they start to say things, Aaron and Miriam, to themselves, like, doesn't God speak to you, Aaron? Well, God speaks to me, Miriam said. He also speaks to you, Aaron. You know, he's not so great. God speaks to us also. God hears what they're grumbling about, and God comes to the rescue of Moses. And when you see this, God has now called, if you will, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron into the area, and God is going to speak to them. He comes in the form of a pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And he calls out Aaron's name and calls out Miriam's name. Now, I want you to know that if that was me and God in a pillar of a cloud standing in this particular place calls out my name, my knees are going to start shaking. Are you knowing what I'm talking about? And he starts to talk to Miriam, and he's not happy. And he starts to talk to Aaron. He's not happy because they've been complaining about his servant Moses. Let's find out what God says. If you will, the 12th chapter, verse number 6. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in dreams. Not so with my servant Moses. He is a faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord. And then were you not afraid? And why were you not afraid to ask to speak against my servant Moses? First thing we see is God defending Moses. When you're faithful, God will defend you. But I want you to hear me now. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. God says he's not a respecter of persons. That what he has done with one, he will do with the others. If you are that kind of a person that is more faithful than anyone else around you, you can be assured that God's going to come to you, not only rescue, he's going to speak to you face to face. I want you to know that when God speaks to you face to face, there's no doubt. There's no wondering. You've got direction now that you can go to the bank on. There's things that you can do that you never could do before. Instead of stepping out, hoping God is with you, you now have God telling you before you ever step out where to go, what to do, how to do it, and what to say when you get there to say it, and look out for all the obstacles on the way there. That's what happens when God speaks to us face to face. The benefit is this, is God wants to speak to you, and God wants to speak to me face to face. How? By being faithful more than anyone else in the house. The second person that we're going to be looking at, and we're looking at faithful people in the Bible as examples so that you and I can become a faithful person, is the man by the name of Caleb. Caleb is an exciting person in the Bible. Let me tell you about the scenario of the man of Caleb, and you might want to turn to the 14th chapter of Numbers, and let's take a look at Caleb. If you'll remember, here's how this works. I want you to hear me now. I want you to concentrate just for a moment. Listen to this. Listen to this story. Here's how it works. God brings the children of Israel out of bondage. He leaves them for a season in a wilderness desert area. There in the wilderness desert area, there will be a test that comes against how faithful they will be before he takes them into the promised land. I want you to hear me. Every one of you in here that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, God has a plan for your life. And there is a promised land for you. There's a blessings of the Lord. It's a place you never thought you could get to. You never thought you could make it. It's greater than you can imagine. God wants to do great, mighty, and marvelous things. It's the promised land for your life. You will go further than you ever thought, say things you never thought you could say, do things you never thought you could do, be something you never thought you could be. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. God doesn't look at that. It's just people who want the promised land. There's a promised land waiting for you. And so they come across and out of bondage of Egypt. They're now waiting on the Lord to direct them to the promised land. God tells them what to do and what to expect. So Moses sends out 12 spies. You know the story. They go and spy out the land, the promised land. It's filled with grapes and honey. It's filled with clusters of food in abundance in every area. And they come back and they say these words. 10 of the 12 say this. Yes, it's full of abundance, just like God said, but we saw giants in the land. And they'll squash us like grasshoppers. We cannot go up against those giants. We cannot do this. And the 10 spies polluted the faith of the people of Israel. And only Caleb and Joshua were the ones that wanted to go into the promised land. Here's what you need to learn. Listen to this. God will deliver you from bondage, take you to a desert place to see and test whether or not you're going to be faithful. If you are faithful to what you know about God, He'll take you to the promised land. But most people aren't faithful and they never get to the promised land. See, the promised land that's ahead of you has giants in it. In other words, there's obstacles there that you don't know how you can get through. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know if you can even make it whatsoever. And most people stop right there and say, I can't make it. They're too big. It's too great a problem. It's too difficult. But if you will be faithful to the God of miracles that He has shown you, faithful to the God who's delivered you, faithful to the God who has led you, faithful to the God who has fed you, faithful to the God who cares and loves for you, I want you to know something. There will be a promised land for you. Yes, you will have to go through the giants, but God's the one who makes a way anyway. Come on, somebody. And Caleb was recognized by God. I find this about Moses. I find this about Caleb. I find this about every faithful person. You will catch the eye and you will catch the heart of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to catch the eye and I want to catch the heart of God. I don't want to live like everybody else. I want God to say, now that one, he is faithful in all the land more than anyone else. I can stand up for him. I can speak to him face to face and I can take him into the promised land because I can trust him into the promised land. Come on, somebody, you know I'm saying the truth. Numbers, the 12th chapter, verse number 24, it says, but my servant hears God speaking about Caleb because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. Boy, that's faithfulness. Has followed me different spirit. And did you know when you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there's a different spirit than the rest of the world on the inside of you. And that spirit wants to take you to the promised land. And he comes on and he makes this statement. He is different and he fully follows me. Faithful. And I will bring him into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. The benefit for all of us that are faithful is the promised land. Your call, your choice. You can make excuses. You can justify why you don't go forward with God. You can say it's too hard or too difficult or no one's there to help me. You can make any excuse you want to. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm too brown. I'm too uneducated. You can make any excuse you want to make. But I'm here to tell you, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, there's a different spirit on the inside of you that wants to lead you into your promised land. And no one can do that but you and God together. And today we're learning how to be faithful so that we can live that blessed life that God wants us to. And we're looking at faithful people in the Bible as examples. The next couple of people I want to look at is quite interesting. Hanani and Hananiah. You probably don't know who they are, but I'll tell you a little story of them if I may. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is called by God to go build the walls of Jerusalem. The walls have been torn down. But the walls represented a place where they met God. And I want you to know something. In every one of our lives, there's been walls torn down. And God wants us to build the walls back up. So the book of Nehemiah speaks all the time to us. You will find that the laborers building the walls in the book of Nehemiah, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in another because they were constantly fighting off the enemy that was trying to stop them from building the walls. And they had the trowel. In other words, it's hard work and you're going to have to be spiritual in order to get results. This isn't something that's going to happen. It's hard work and spiritual in order for you to get the results. Just like them, you're going to have a trowel in one hand and the sword of the Spirit in the other, because everything's going to try to stop you from building the walls of your life. And at the conclusion of the building of the wall, Nehemiah makes a statement in the 7th chapter, verse number 2, about Hanani his brother and Hananiah, the governor of the gates. And here's the statement that he makes in Nehemiah, the 7th chapter, verse number 2. He says these words, that I give the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah. And Hananiah, the leader of the synagogue, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. One translation says, than others. Today, God's looking for somebody to be faithful. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there's fights. Yes, there's difficulties. Yes, there's trials, tribulations, and pressures of life. But the one who is going to be faithful is the one who's going to get the blessings. And the benefit here is they became the rulers of the city of Jerusalem. You say, what has that got to do with me? I have no desire to be the ruler of a city. Of course not. But did you know your life is like a city? It has things that come in and things that go out. It has commerce that takes place. You bring food in, you bring life in, you bring life from it. And your personal life is like a city. And now, in order to be the ruler of your life, you're going to have to be somebody that's faithful. We've trained ourselves not to be faithful. Did you know that? Let me take you to a little example, if I may, of illustration of how we're not as faithful as we might think we are. Has anybody ever gone on a diet? Does anybody in this place honest enough that will say to me, as I will say to you today, that you and I have fat clothes, medium clothes, and skinny clothes? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know why you have fat clothes, medium clothes, and skinny clothes? Because we're not faithful to the diet. That's why. When we got skinny, we bought all those clothes, but you know how we didn't throw the big ones away? Just in case. And when you did throw the big ones away, oh, were you mad at yourself? You know what I'm talking about. Because here's how it works. You made a faithful statement. I'm going to lose weight. Simple as this. Listen. And then temptation came. Yesterday I was with the music ministers. They were over at my house for lunch. Their kids were swimming. We were underneath an oak tree having a little barbecue. I was doing fine. until someone brought a homemade peach cobbler. The peach cobbler jumped off the table. Yeah, true. And said, "Eat me. I am so good and I'm still warm." I ran in the house, got some whipped cream. If I find ice cream, I would have gotten that. Brought the whipped cream out, and we all in the whole place loaded our peach cobbler. Guess what? Soon as temptation came in, the faithfulness went out. Just a little thing like that. Here we find that when you're going to win a city, you can't allow those little things to come and get you away. Because if you can be faithful in the little, you will be faithful in the great. Are you following me? Come on now, somebody. Another group of people we want to go to the New Testament this time is Timothy. Timothy's an interesting person as we look at 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Faithful people in the Bible as examples, Timothy. And then Epaphras and Onesimus also, you'll find them in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1 and chapter number 4, but the similar benefit that they all got. Let me read you the verse, if I may, about Timothy. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." What made him a faithful minister was the very fact that he was faithful to the things of God. And the benefit of all of this with Onesimus and all the others, you will find there's only one kind of real good minister, and that's a faithful minister. And the benefit is a minister of God. Now, whether you know it or not, we're not talking about people just in the pulpit area. If you are born of the Spirit of God, may I say this to you, you are a full-time minister of the Lord. It may be that you don't have a platform in the church, but you have a platform maybe at work. Some of you put on a nurse's outfit and go to work. At the end of the week, they pay you. Some of you put on painter's outfits, go to work. Some of you put on city employees' outfits and go to work. Some of you put on different roles that you put on. Some of you are attorneys. Some of you are doctors. Some of you are physicians. Some of you are different types of people. You put on your outfits and you go to work. Every week, at the end of the week, you get a paycheck. But during that period of time, I want you to know that you are the full-time ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a whole lost and dying world out there. But in order for you to be a minister of God, there is one specific characteristic that must take place for all of us, and that is we are faithful to the things of the Lord. You can print up a card that says pastor, but if you can't pay your bills, you'll never be a pastor. You can print up a card that says apostle or prophet, but if you can't make a commitment to people and be faithful in the commitment, then guess what? You will never be what God wants you to be. The very thread that runs through the life of every great minister is that they are faithful in every area that they can of their life. And God is speaking to all of us. And just like Timothy, Onesimus, just like Epaphras, we'll find that faithful ministers are people who are committed to the things of God. Come on, somebody. But what about you? What about me? I want to share something in the verse that's very important to you to see. I want you to hear me now. A couple of weeks ago, I ministered a subject called Your Worthy Response to His Call. Do you remember that? I thought it was a great message because it was from the heart of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us that are born of the Spirit of God have a call on our lives. Most of us don't know what that is. You got the call. If you remember, there were four parts to the call in order for it to operate. Two parts from God, two parts from you. You must, number one, be chosen, which we are when we become born of the Spirit of God. Number two, you are called. Number three, you're going to have to respond. Number four, you're going to have to receive. God does the choosing, the calling. But the response is ours. without a response, do you remember? You never get to receive. Does anybody remember the message? Let me say it again. God does the choosing. That's you if you're born of the Spirit of God. He calls you. That's His part. Our part is we've got to respond. When we respond, then we receive the blessings that God has for us. May I say this to you? You never receive until you respond. You can't respond until you know you're called. You can't be called until you know you're chosen. Is anybody listening to me? And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Now, what about you being faithful? What about you living your life where your yes is yes and your no's are no's? That you swear to your own hurt, even though you hurt you, even though you made a commitment, even though you're going to suffer from it, but you keep your word at it. I want to take you, if I may, to the book of Revelation. When you get to Revelation, let's take a look at the 17th chapter of Revelation. Here we find Jesus coming back, and when he comes back, there's people making war, demonic spirits making war against him as he comes, and you know Jesus is coming. When he comes back, listen to this, he's coming with some people with him. Hopefully it's you, and hopefully it's me. Let's see what these people are that come with Jesus. In verse number 14, it says these words. These will make war with the Lamb, speaking of those that want to fight against him. And the Lamb will overcome them, speaking of Jesus overcoming. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and the response is faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. You don't have a choice about this. Called, chosen, and faithful. Will there be trials? Yes. Will there be pressures? Yes. Will things not go the way you want them to go or think they should turn out? Absolutely. Will you be frustrated? No doubt about it. But you stay in there and you catch the heart, you catch the eye of God, and all of a sudden, man, you will start to catch the blessings of God because now you are chosen and you are called and you are now a faithful saint of God. And that ought to be the voice for every one of us. Today, when you look at Hebrews in the third chapter, verse number 2, and it talks about Jesus being faithful to the Father that sent him, and Moses being faithful to the house that he was over. That word faithful now means something different. Will there be tests? Just to see how you'll react. If God spoke to you today, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that?